no farmhouse, no family, no cape. We're talking about Absolute Superman. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to your new favorite show, The More You Nerd, where we are wrapping up Absolute August, covering the last of the big three of the Absolute run of DC Comics, Absolute Superman. And today we're going to be covering issues 1 through 6, collectively titled The Last Dust of Krypton. My name is Drew, and I need the dog pulling me to safety as my planet explodes. Miles, how are you, my friend?
Woof, woof.
Indeed.
Doing all right. It's been a week already, and it's only Tuesday. I was very excited to get Superman after how enthusiastic we were about Absolute Batman and Absolute Wonder Woman. And this one is, it's tough to say exactly, because this one comes to us from Jason Aaron, who was, I mean, again, DC put all of their, like, best people on it. Like, this is something that they basically were like, hey, if we're going to do this, let's just put like every ace in our sleeves. So we've got Jason Aaron, Rafa Sandoval on art with letters by Becca Carey, who I think also lettered Wonder Woman.
I would have to go back and look. I don't know off the top. That name seems familiar, but.
And colorist Ulysses Ariola, and Chris Conroy is as the editor. I was expecting this to be a lot more radical of a change than it was in some ways.
It is probably, of the three we have read so far, the least radical take for these characters.
Because it takes... Oh, go ahead.
Well, because again, we were promised, like, no farmhouse, no family, but realistically, as we get... Because this book is also told in the same sort of present day flashback that we had with both Absolute Wonder Woman and Absolute Batman. Really, and I know Miles is going to correct me on this when I say it, but this really just kind of feels like they gave Superman Supergirl's backstory. And that's
to a degree, in that Superman is not a baby when Krypton explodes. That's the main difference, and especially in the way in which Kara sort of tells her version of her origin. However, this is a very different Krypton,
yes,
than we've seen before, and I actually really like this iteration. I mean, again, we are in this kind of not the dark universe, but this absolute universe is kind of influenced by Darkseid and by evil. And so the science cast that has taken, or that kind of rules Krypton, this upper class, is much more dominant, much more authoritarian. And ironically, his dad is a farmer.
Yeah, that was a thing. Jor-El in this was a scientist and was part
one of the best
one of the best scientists, just like he was in previous versions. But he said some things that the science cast didn't like, so they basically knocked him down to the lowest cast on Krypton. And when we say cast, we are talking again like a cast system.
Yes.
That we really only see a couple of different version.
We just really see the laborers and the scientists.
And we see some of the military guys who have a name that I can't remember what they called them. But of course, they're all represented by the crest that they're required to wear. And of course, the laborer cast is Superman's iconic S symbol.
Yes. Which
I both like and dislike.
Same.
That.
And that's kind of my relationship with a lot of this book. There's a lot I really like, and there's a lot I don't really care for.
And so when we have this Kal-El, I almost called him Clark Kent, but he's not Clark Kent, and he may not be Clark Kent. Who knows? You have this Kal-El who is raised in a world where he just wants to write and be outside and enjoy his farmer life that he actually does quite enjoy. But the powers that be will not let him. He is required to, he writes his, it's so funny. One of the things that happens in this book is that he is required to basically condense a bunch of articles that he finds on space Wikipedia. Krypton's like AI knowledge system. I forget what they call it. And he doesn't want to do it. He just looks things up himself and writes them down. And we never find out if it's wrong or not. We just know that the problem is that he wrote it himself and he didn't just cite what the system said.
Yeah, he didn't cite the generative AI.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on here. There's a lot of commentary, certainly about the current cultural climate in America. There's a lot about climate change. There's a lot about what happens when a particular ruling class, even with possible good intentions, has too much power. And there's a lot. There is also this great idea that. There is the Supergirl origin aspect. There is honestly a lot of Superman, Mark Waid's Superman birthright in here, as well as like Grant Morrison's kind of iteration of the very beginning of Superman as that social justice hero. Yeah. And I mean that very literally, because that's what he was. He was a kind of a working class hero in a lot of ways. And while I didn't love the representation of having Superman in freaking the S and a pair of jeans, because he's not Connor Kent. I get what Grant Morrison was trying to do and has done in other ways since then. So you do have all these things in a blender. And that aspect I do really appreciate. It's some of the remixing of a lot of the characters that I find, oh, that's neat. And that's as far as like the appreciation goes. Like, but I think this book is meant to give us more of a scope of the world as it is than the more kind of contained insular stories of Wonder Woman and Batman.
And that's true. That is something that we get here. In Wonder Woman, we get her island and the couple of battles that she has back to back in
Gateway City.
Gateway City. And of course, Batman is in Gotham because Batman is in Gotham. So that is true. We see a number of different locations as Superman, who, again, doesn't really have a name throughout a lot of this either. But we talk about the commentary of one group having too much power, and that's where we have to talk about the present day version of the story. And this is where Kal-El is on the planet, and he's sort of kind of Batman-like, going through and becoming parts of these little tiny communities that are all doing very dangerous work, typically mining work, for a company.
I mean, it's even more Batman-like when you find out who he's actually fighting against.
Well, yeah. So that's the thing. The company that he's trying to take to stop is a company called Lazarus. And I'm going to be 100% honest, Miles. I didn't clock it. It took me so long to clock. Like, ooh,
because you don't expect that from a Superman story.
Yeah, and that's probably,
and that's what it is. And I think that was a masterstroke of a reveal.
Yeah, because it's also, we also have a reveal of Lazarus using this quote-unquote Brainiac AI system. Brainiac algorithm. which is
and we get kind of shown early on that there's no algorithm. It's Brainiac.
It's Brainiac, and all of the people in his tiny little cities are screaming, and it's so wild and weird.
This is much more of a horror comic than I expected it to be.
Yeah, there's like when we are watching some of the early destruction of Krypton, because that's another thing. The destruction of Krypton, we see it like start a year before the book ends. And you watch a dude's face melt with green Krypton radiation, kryptonite radiation.
I read a little bit ahead and you get some Brainiac origin issue, and that thing is a straight up horror comic. Like he makes someone vomit up their own skin.
I almost read it, but then I was like, I'll be okay right now.
I read ahead because like here's the thing is like I have a lot of problems with this book, but I'm also like, I really want to see where it goes.
Well, and that's the thing. It's like, it's the use of some characters that I find very odd and weird, and the use of other characters that I'm like, are they doing something here? Are they going to say something here? Are they going to have a character maybe get some redemption? And that's where I look at, we'll talk about Kal-El himself in a minute, but the fact that we have this universe's Lois Lane, who still the daughter of a retired general who what turns out was forcibly retired because of a military incident in which he lost his legs. But she is now working for Lazarus as part of their special products thing. And oh yeah, she hates writing reports. She never wants to write a report.
Guess how good she is at writing reports.
This is incredible. Yeah. So she's really good at it. But she has an encounter with Kal-El as he is trying to, they're in Brazil, and he has just effectively done all the mining work for these people overnight so that they don't have to do it. But what does Lazarus do? They're like, oh, something suspicious is happening. And they just start roughing people up, and he doesn't like that. So he makes a point of it. This is maybe where I think the most interesting twist on the Superman story, aside from the Lazarus Corporation and who runs that, which at this point in the story, I still don't know because I haven't figured it out. The Lazarus...
You know, if this is a Batman story, you'd have clocked it immediately.
I'm sure I would have. It's just like, it took them finally saying, and it turns out they have this pit that they'll make you younger for $1 million a minute. And it's like, oh my God, it's Ra's al Ghul. How did I not put this together? I'm an idiot.
Well, the thing I like about this book is that I feel like this book is serving as a look at what the absolute DC universe is.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, because we've been given this idea from the very poorly executed All In special, of what Darkseid has done. And you know, we get a little bit of that in these twisted kind of origins of Batman and Wonder Woman, but largely they seem fine. It's this where you see how dire of a condition the rest of the world is in. Like, you have multiple corporations who are basically kind of actually very similar to the recently aired Alien Earth. It's world building. You have multiple corporations who basically own this planet, and they are kind of vying for positions and taking over. And one of the biggest and most dangerous ones is the Lazarus Corporation, which has immediately run afoul of a recently, like, we do get a version of Superman's origin. He crash lands in the Kent's farm and does befriend them, but he is a young man at this point. But he does, you know, live on the farm, help them. Martha believes he's an angel, and
the way he helps out and decides he's going to fix the tractor, even though he doesn't have to, and all of that. It's like, I can tell you're a farm boy. You're a farmer's boy.
Yeah, and I love that. I love that, actually.
I really liked that part of his backstory for sure, because, of course, we all love the Kent family. But I know that there's something tragic that happens between then and the next time we see Martha by herself in memory care.
Yeah,
that I know that the Lazarus Corporation has done something that presumably has killed Jonathan and has messed Martha up. But I was going to say it, and it's funny that I'm reading this week because there is a big time change to a major character, and that that character becomes an organization of characters, and that the security forces for the Lazarus Corporation are the Peacemakers.
Yeah.
And we do get a name check of one Christopher Smith, aka Peacemaker, the character.
We get more than one name check. Did you get the other one?
Oh, maybe I didn't.
There's a name check in issue 2 for Hank Henshaw.
Oh, I did clocked that, but I put it out because that's who becomes Cyborg Superman, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was waiting for him to come out at some point, and it's like, no, we're just gonna have Christopher Smith out here, being the worst.
being the Peacemaker that you expect from the beginning of the Suicide Squad and the Peacemaker TV show, but
right.
But he's become such a big character thanks in part to John Cena and
John Cena's performance. Yeah.
And John Cena's performance that I wonder if they're going to do some redemption of this character as the run goes on.
We'll see. I mean, he definitely seems like one of those characters that could have that kind of run. Also, I don't know, because Peacemaker's been in the news because the show just came back. The revelation that James Gunn hates the "you can't see me" gag is, like, for whatever reason, just cracks me up so much because it's such a nothing thing for him to, like, ignore. And for whatever reason, like, it incenses him because apparently when James Gunn, like, is kind of going on and on sometimes, John Cena apparently will just do this randomly. And it pisses him off, which, I mean, I could see that being,
I have mad respect for that. But I also love the fact that, like, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of interviews with this. This is not a Peacemaker podcast. We will get back to Absolute Superman in a second. But
they're a massive part of this book.
Yeah, they're a massive part. I'm seeing a lot of interviews where it's like John Cena was not James Gunn's first choice for
I can see that
Peacemaker. He wasn't James Gunn's third choice for Peacemaker, but he finally cast him, and they had built such a bond and built such a cool thing together that James Gunn broke his main rule in that if a character dies in a movie, they don't come back to life. And that's exactly what happened. Well, spoiler warning for a movie that's several years old. Peacemaker is supposed to die in the Suicide Squad, and post-credit scene does not, so that they can make the TV show together.
Yeah.
Which is just, it's just fun and awesome. And I've the only one episode of season 2 of Peacemaker's out. It's great. I love it. I can't wait to watch more.
That I haven't show watched it yet. Is
just excellent. Anyway, so the Peacemakers are a thing here, and it's so funny watching these guys just get clowned on. But again, we also have the aspect of Kal-El that despite all of the damage that he's been doing to Lazarus stuff and blowing up tanks and doing all this stuff, his kill count is 0, which is just another
love
thing
that
is like, how does that happen? So let's go ahead.
Well, because I mean, one of the things that we have talked about in both prior books that we read was this mission to still radically change so much about the character's world and origin, but still make that character have that the center, what makes that character important. And this book actively tries to convince you that, oh, this Superman's going to break, because he even says, I'm worried what I would do if I let my rage out. And
it's specifically, that line is great because it's specifically in context of Superman
Peacemaker.
Yeah, Superman freezes does a bunch of stuff these Peacemakers are about to kill a bunch of people. He swoops down and he freezes them with his freeze breath, and as a result, the common folk that have been put upon start laughing and making fun,
taking
of
selfies
and taking selfies with frozen Peacemakers in the ice and all of that. And when they finally break out, things go bad and Superman is angry and he wants to find out where Christopher Smith is. And when his suit AI, which we need to talk about that new character as well, because not only does Superman have a little bit of Supergirl's backstory, he's also got a little bit of Booster Gold's.
Well, it's a little bit different because Superman has always had AI companions.
That's fair. I'm being flippant about this because Soul reminded me a lot of
Skeets.
Of Skeets. But yeah, basically
not as sarcastic, but yes.
Yeah. But Soul can't find where Christopher Smith is because he's being blocked by Brainiac effectively. And Kal-El's basically
Soul is very worried about, and Kal-El does not care at all.
he is more like, I'm glad you can't find him, because if I knew where he was, I don't know what I'd do. And that is such a subtly powerful moment in this book that really, really works for me. Because he's still very, very young at this point. He's been on Earth at, what did they say, 6 years?
Thereabouts. And yeah. And they kind of give him that kind of Batman Joker sort of thing where like, there are moments where Batman in his early career, and especially after they make Joker more serious in the 70s and, you know, do the kind of the fish story and everything, like there are many points where Batman's almost broken his rule, you know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that flipped where like, okay, you kind of give him a little bit of that, including a Batman nemesis, but I think for the, what they're doing, because I mean, obviously they're looking for an absolute, I think the event in the winter is gonna be called Absolute Evil, or Absolute Endgame, something like that. No, that's Ultimate Endgame. Absolute Evil, I think, is this fall. But I can see what they're doing to kind of move all the pieces together, and I think it was a really good choice to put someone like as global of a villain as Ra's al Ghul on Superman's radar instead. I think it's a bold choice because it's so different. And this version of Ra's al Ghul is very, very different. I've read a couple of issues ahead. So you get like one moment with him.
You don't really have much with him. It's really the reveal that it's Ra's al Ghul running this company that is all you get of him in these first six issues.
He's the same, but different. He kind of feels a little bit more like Vandal Savage, to be perfectly honest.
Which, I mean, it's honestly kind of fair. They're weirdly
very similar characters.
But it's also, you have to remember that Ra's al Ghul, when he first came out, or Ra's al Ghul, I know I learned one pronunciation and they're trying to change it because we apparently were all pronouncing it wrong.
But most of my entire life I called him Ra's as well.
Well, I called him Ra's because that was Batman the Animated Series called him Ra's al Ghul.
So
I didn't clock Ra's until the Arkham games came out when they called him Ra's al Ghul.
I clocked that earlier. I can't remember where it came from for me.
I think they called him Ra's al Ghul in Batman Begins as well.
I don't know where Ra's came from then. I called him that for a good part of my teens.
Weird. I wonder if you heard somebody say it correctly that just happened to know, and then that stuck with you, because anyway.
Maybe. I don't know.
Regardless, but, it doesn't matter. But I mean, he was an eco-terrorist in his early days. And
well, from what I read, still kind of is.
Well,
but what I do like, or I'm sorry, what I don't really care for is, and this happens all the time, because when you're always trying to do this all new, all different, especially in an ultimate type thing, it worked in Batman. It really worked in Wonder Woman. And maybe it's just because we've done so much Superman this year between the two of us.
We have spent a lot of time with old Kal-El.
I gotta say, I don't really care for the Agent Lane stuff, and I do not care for Omega Man Jimmy Olsen.
Well, he's not Omega; he is an Alpha.
Though they're called the Omega Man.
I know, but his code name is Alpha.
Yeah, look, which is stupid.
It was again when they revealed that character had red hair before the mask came down. I didn't even clock it, and it wasn't until the mask came down I was like, oh crap, this is Jimmy Olsen. Good lord.
I don't need everyone to have been on Boots on the Ground Commando. Like what's next? Perry White is like an agent of Spiral, you know, like I
would read that book.
I probably would too. But I mean, So that aspect of it is probably, I think, what has thrown me off the most, because
they introduce a lot of stuff and a lot of known elements from, like, Batman had the Rogues Gallery twist of everything. Wonder Woman had the big main twist that she was not raised on Themyscira, but was raised by Circe, one of Wonder Woman's longtime villains. This book just introduces so many different factors and facets of DC Comics of the past, between Ra's al Ghul, between Brainiac, between the Peacemakers / Peacemaker, the Omega Men. Like, there's just a lot going on that it's, yeah. Yes, it's world building, but it's world building in a way that we have not seen in the prior books. And while it's probably good for the Absolute Universe as a whole, it's maybe not great to focus on Superman himself.
Fully agreed. And that I was about to say the exact same thing. Like, it is great for the Absolute DC Universe for us to have an idea of what this world is like. I think it does so at the detriment of the Superman story, because even, I mean, I've read, I think, what, 8 or 9 issues now? I'm on issue 9. And, like, the pacing of the actual Superman story is glacial. Like, it sucks, because, like, I want to spend time with this kid and I want to kind of get to know him a little bit better, because I felt like we did that with Bruce and we did that with Diana. And I don't feel like we do that with Kal-El. We get his backstory, and I legit loved all the Krypton stuff. Really worked for me.
Yeah, for sure.
I even love the idea that they had actually built a ship to get more people off Krypton.
Their entire, like, farm community they were going to take off Krypton.
And, you know, stuff went down, and Kal was the only one that happened to survive. Even Krypto died.
Well, we don't know that.
We don't know that. And also, I am fully expecting somewhere down the line, if this book keeps on going, there's going to be another craft.
Well,
I saw someone with a Z, and I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
Oh, you spotted a Z?
I spotted a Z.
I bet. Was there
not on the ship, but like
on the science and the candor.
On the science. Yeah, I saw someone with a Z, and I'm like, okay, I see what's going to happen.
Because that's the other thing we learn in the backstory, that the Science Guild is building their own ships, but not telling anybody that they're building them. And so the Kal-El or Jor-El and Lara build their own ship to save their people. The Science Guild build ships, but the destruction of Krypton is so big that it doesn't really work. And that's sort of where we do have to talk about the big change to Superman, in that, hey, I like your costume. Thanks. My mom made it for me. Is still true here, in that what
that is true. He didn't say it, but it's true.
What he is wearing is a prototype spacesuit that his mother developed for anybody that was going on their particular ship, which also consequently turns into their own little mini escape ships, a lot of which also don't survive the destruction of Krypton. You see a cape on these covers, but it's not exactly the same thing. This is...
It's tied into the title of the story, too.
Yeah, the last dust of Krypton. In order to make these spacesuits, they need this, like... Sunstone or something?
The sunstone crystals are what they mine.
Yeah.
And it creates this red dust, which, like they're all... So the elves live in the Styx. And they call it like the Redlands or something like that.
I call it BFK.
Wait, what?
that's a reference to like real world stuff where somebody lived in the Styx. You called it BFE. We're in BFK.
But you're also very close to BTK. So I was like, what are you trying to do here?
Oh no, not that. Forgot about that. Didn't even think about that.
But no, that's actually pretty funny. But I thought I was not gonna like the idea of this like kind of dust being the cape, but I actually really dig it.
Well, because he could use it to save other people, and he wraps people in it. It becomes bandages for people's injuries and stuff like that.
It heals people.
It heals.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever this nanotechnology, because the thing is, like, even though they were ousted from the science cast, like, and what's
didn't take their abilities away. They didn't take their intelligence.
Well, the thing about Laura is, like, she was outed when she was 9 because she had a little mouth on her, which I was like, made me love her immediately. You find out she's been making stuff for years. Like, she is basically Iron Man.
Yeah.
And her father is, like, more of a political, not zealot, but he's certainly a political, like, defiant, and gets jailed for that. My favorite part of that whole thing is, like, Mama comes in with a lava cannon, and not only that, but Clark's with her, and he sees the computer, and he's like, oh, well, I'm gonna do a little bit of a opinion piece, and, like, yeah, tells everyone,
here's a op-ed of what's happening on planet.
Here's
Krypton
what's happening,
right,
world. That all, like, all the Krypton stuff, despite it being very, very different, I loved. I accept a lot of the stuff that they have changed, and this kind of blender of different Superman ideas that they've put here, that Jason Aaron has put here. I don't know that it always works, and I certainly think they sacrificed the world building for the character building of Kal-El. I think that will come later. It's starting to in what I've been reading, but I think they're spending too much time world building. So when the action comes, we still don't really know Kal-El that well.
Yeah.
And from the last 6 years. And I think that is a little bit of a detriment. Like, but I also, I get Jason Aaron is in a kind of uncomfortable spot where he's got to figure, I'm sure he was kind of tasked, hey, you got to be the voice of the rest of the world. Superman has to be the rest of the world. Like, Flash, there's an absolute Flash that we haven't read. There's an absolute Martian Manhunter, and I think there's an absolute Green Lantern that is either coming out or is out. You have to be the person who tells us what this world is like. And so I think that he has an additional task that is unfortunate. But I also, at the same time, I'm glad they're doing that, because now I understand what this world is like. Because with Batman and with Wonder Woman, I was like, okay, so it's a little bit darker outside, but it's not that bad.
Yeah.
You know, you have black masks goons all over Gotham, but, like, okay, that sounds like stuff that's happened in the main books. You have a little bit of twist with some monsters and stuff. Okay, that's had it happen in Wonder Woman's main books. But here it's like, oh no, the whole world is rough. And I think that that punctuation mark on that is important for the mission statement of Absolute DC. Personally.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And honestly, and that's the weird thing about this, is that there's so much broad setup and not a lot of specific setup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm kind of out of things to say. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things. Like, that's part of why, I mean, I wanted to read more of Batman. Actually, I pushed a little bit of the Mr. Freeze story that happened next, but
I read a couple issues of that too, and it's wild.
Yeah, it's wild. It's really good. I haven't read more of Wonder Woman, although I want to. It's also a very good book. But I did push forward with Superman just more, because I want all these little nuggets, and I'm really curious of what this world's like. And I gotta say, like, for the world building stuff, it's still very, very good. I'm just waiting for it to be really become a Superman book. And I think that's the one that's kind of holding me back on giving this. I don't want to say this is the worst of the three. That's not fair. But this is the least character focus, and as a result, can feel like the weakest, although it might be pushing more weight than the other two.
It's setting things up that will have bigger, broader strokes down the line for not just a Superman story, but the rest of the absolute universe. But yeah, it is to me right now, only reading 6 issues of it, the weakest of the three. That doesn't mean I didn't like it. I liked a lot of it. There's just, as much as we said, there was a lot of setup and not a lot of payoff in Wonder Woman's book. There's even more setup and even less payoff in this one. And that's not a bad thing. It's just, you know, when this is all you've read, it's hard to,
well,
pun intended, crystallize those thoughts, because Superman uses crystals.
Yeah, at least with Batman and Wonder Woman, you kind of felt like, okay, this is the end of the arc. I didn't get that feeling with this book. At issue six, I was like, okay, I gotta read the next one. I was like, wait a minute, we're
At
only supposed to
issue
read six
six, it
issues.
felt like the arc was just beginning.
Yeah.
Which
And
is,
I
I
think
mean, that's good. That's good,
well,
but.
and Jason Aaron is that kind of writer. He is more long form, and I guess that's why they kind of tasked him. It's like, hey, your Superman book's going to be building the new DC Absolute Universe, so we need you to kind of do something a little bit different. I don't know that's the case, but that's certainly what it feels like. Also, well, that's not part of this story, so never mind. I'm not going to mention it.
Thank you. So, yeah,
I
I'm.
don't, but I will say I don't love how Kryptonite gets involved in this world.
Well,
I didn't like it. Didn't like it at all.
we'll see that when it comes down to it. I do like Saul, Superman's little AI companion. I am waiting for him to be
Wish I had a better
corrupt.
name.
Yes. It's a little on the nose that it's
Yep.
Soul, which is.
Yeah.
Means
Stupid.
son, it's a little on the nose. But I'm waiting for it to be either corrupted or deleted so that he doesn't have it to rely on anymore. That's not something that I know that happens in the book. This is something that I am predicting for the story.
There could be something, because I feel like the Eradicator had a suit like this back in the day. So it could be mixing just a little bit of everything.
Well, okay. They set up Hank Henshaw. We have Soul be set up, and we have Brainiac set up.
We also got Lazarus,
We also
and
have
that whole thing's
Lazarus.
like, we can make you younger.
We might have the lookings of a sort of cyborg Superman Eradicator combination because Soul does say repeatedly that his main task is saving the last son of Krypton. Which, if I remember correctly, was something that Eradicator said a lot. So, again, this is speculation.
No, but I'll always love the homie in shades until he became a huge
Yeah.
dick. But yeah, no, I mean, it is at the very least, it's a very interesting book, and I do. It's the least radical in terms of a change. Like, it's a very different Superman story, but if you've read a lot of Superman books and stuff, and different takes, like I said, you take Tom King's Supergirl, Mark Waid's Superman Birthright, and Grant Morrison's like earlier Superman stuff when he did the New 52 Superman. Or did he do Action Comics? I think he did Action Comics. That sounds right.
Grant Morrison was Action Comics, yeah.
Yeah. That you put that on a blender. That's kind of what the Superman is. And that's not a bad thing. I wish this book spent more time on Superman.
Yeah. Which, we got time. There's only
We got
10
time.
issues at this point. There's only 10 issues out. So
And I will say this, with the entire DC Absolute Universe that I've read so far, I am digging this.
it's
I am
fun.
really liking
It's
this initiative a
interesting.
lot.
It's way more interesting than the log line leads you to think because you look at it and you think,
Yes.
oh, this is just going to be another dark, grim story of these characters. Da 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 da.
Or like a bad, like ultimate knockoff. I still remember All-Star Batman and woof.
Woof.
It almost I'm not gonna lie. It almost makes you want to be like, hey, let's read Absolute Flash.
I want to read Absolute Green Lantern, which I think is coming out or is out. I don't remember.
Well, so I know that Flash already has six issues out. And I know Martian Manhunter, I think, has several. I'm checking right now by Absolute Green
I'm
Lantern.
looking. Green Lantern started in April, so it has a
It's
few
got
now too.
five. So it's and so it I don't know, we could
Oh,
not
and
for nothing, gang.
Absolute Green Lantern focuses on four different Green Lanterns,
That's pretty sick.
including Joe Mullane, who is
John Mulaney?
no Sojourner Joe Mullane, who is the Far Sector Green Lantern that has been pretty
Oh, no,
fun.
I was being a ding dong.
Hal Jordan, John Stewart, and your boy, the
Guy
man in
Gardner.
green. the bad boy of space policing, Guy Gardner. So might have to check that out. There are only 5 issues of that available, so they are it's not even collected in the first run.
Yeah, I would imagine by September, I think they're coming out kind of early. Not for nothing, Drew. September's weird for us.
Yeah,
and we just mentioned 3 absolute books that will, by the time this we get to around to them next month, will have 6 issues at least each. I mean, because so like I said, next month is weird for us. We got Dragon Con next week, so we're taking next week off.
No episode next week.
I will be going on vacation the 3rd week in September. So I mean, and you can easily say no, we can figure something else out. I know we're on the air, but if you want to read the next 3 absolute books, I'm kind of down.
I'm also kind of down, but like listeners, okay, this is where you come in now.
You have 1 week to comply.
Technically, you have 2 weeks, but you have, let's say you have 10 days from the time that you're listening to this. If you want us to keep going with the absolute books and read Absolute Flash and Absolute Green Lantern and
Martian Manhunter
doesn't come out until it started coming out in March. Excuse me, it started coming out in March. I thought that.
Yeah, it's got at least 5 issues.
Yeah. That one's actually a limited series, so it will only have 12. It will not be ongoing.
Okay. So that one won't be complete, but it'll be, we'll have an idea.
Yeah. If you would like us to continue talking about the absolute books, let us know. And if you would like us to do something else, let us know. But Miles, how do they let us know? Well, I'll tell you.
You're setting me up.
Not this time, because I got my spiel. You can find us at themoreyounerd.com, where you can find this and every other episode. Grip it and rip it, Miles. Grip it and rip it.
Always.
You can find us on many different social media platforms at themoreyounerd. Just search for themoreyounerd, and it will likely be us. And if it's not, please let us know, because I'd like to know. You can also email us, themoreyounerd@gmail.com. That's themoreyounerd@gmail.com. You can also find us at CosmicCrit.com. Now, what is Cosmic Crit? Well, Cosmic Crit is the Starfinder RPG game, and really a lot of other RPG games that we play with all of our friends, me, Miles, and a whole bunch of other folks that have appeared on this show. I think there's only one person on that show that's never appeared on this show, and we should probably take care to make that happen at some point. Where we play.
Wait, who's the only person that hasn't?
Jabert is the only person that has not.
He's appeared on this show.
When did he appear on this show?
It was a while ago, but I think he's popped up once, like one time ever.
Interesting. I don't remember that, but we've also been doing this show for like 74 years, so I don't remember a lot.
I'm almost positive he's been on this show.
Well, regardless, CosmicCrit.com. We are about to kick off a whole new run of Starfinder 2nd Edition that we are only in the beginnings of figuring out. So that's going to be awesome. Check out CosmicCrit.com. And if you go to CosmicCrit.com and you look in the upper right-hand corner, you will find a link to the Cosmic Crit Discord. That is where you can join in and join in a lot of different games. For example, we've got a big event that is a yearly fundraising event for Doctors Without Borders called CritterCon, and that is happening in like 2 weeks. So come on in, sign up. We're going to be doing a lot of live stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on, prizes to win and all sorts of that stuff, all for raising money for Doctors Without Borders. But you can also just join the Discord, where you can just hang out with me and Miles all day when we're bored at work. So, with that said, gang, we are going to end the show now, as we always do, with a rousing
nerd
out.
I screwed that up for y'all. You did.